بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قالوا إن يسرق فقد سرق أخ له من قبل فأسرها يوسف في نفسه ولم يبدها لهم قال أنتم شر مكانا والله أعلم بما تصفون. قالوا يا أيها العزيز إن له أبا شيخا كبيرا فخذ أحدنا مكانه إنا نراك من المحسنين. قال معاذ الله أن نأخذ إلا من وجدنا متاعنا عنده إنا إذا لظالمون. فلما استيئسوا منه خلصوا نجيا قال كبيرهم ألم تعلموا أن أباكم قد أخذ عليكم موثقا من الله ومن قبل ما فرطتم في يوسف فلن أبرح الأرض حتى يأذن لي أبي أو يحكم الله لي وهو خير الحاكمين. ارجعوا إلى أبيكم فقولوا يا أبانا إن ابنك سرق وما شهدنا إلا بما علمنا وما كنا للغيب حافظين. واسأل القرية التي كنا فيها والعير التي أقبلنا فيها وإنا لصادقون. قال بل سولت لكم أنفسكم أمرا فصبر جميل عسى الله أن يأتيني بهم جميعا إنه هو العليم الحكيم. وتولى عنهم وقال يا أسفى على يوسف وابيضت عيناه من الحزن فهو كظيم. قالوا تالله تفتأ تذكر يوسف حتى تكون حرضا أو تكون من الهالكين. قال إنما أشكو بثي وحزني إلى الله وأعلم من الله ما لا تعلمون. يا بني اذهبوا فتحسسوا من يوسف وأخيه ولا تيأسوا من روح الله إنه لا ييأس من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Yesterday we finished up till the place where Yusuf عليه السلام succeeded in taking his brother Binyamin, even though the law of the land would not have allowed that had he not plotted and planned in that particular fashion and manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to. So once the brothers of Yusuf عليه السلام realized that their brother would be taken away from them, they immediately said, قَالُوا إِنْ يَسْرِقْ. They said, verily, if he has stolen, if Binyamin has been accused of stealing, and he has stolen this cup, فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخُ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Verily, his brother before him has also stolen. Meaning Yusuf alayhi salam. So here, look at the depth of depravity that they have gone down to. That their brother has been caught stealing, Binyamin. Instead of supporting him or defending him or trying to find an excuse or trying to find out what really happened, immediately they freed themselves of him by saying that, well, if he is a thief, then verily he has a brother also before him who stole as well, meaning Yusuf. So they're showing that this is not their full brother, because they said he has a brother before him. So this is not their full brother. He and his brother are separate from us. We are their half brothers. And they also said this is well known in that part of the family. Him and his brother Yusuf are well known for stealing. So look at how evil they became to accuse Yusuf of this lie. That of course Yusuf was guilty, was innocent of any type of stealing, of any type of robbery. And in fact the brothers themselves were the real thieves. They were the ones who stole Yusuf. They were the ones who captured Yusuf. They were the ones who sold him into slavery, according to one opinion. So they are the real thieves. They stole human merchandise from their fathers. So who is the greater of the two thieves? Yusuf, the innocent one, or the brothers, the actual thieves? Here they say, one of his brothers has stolen before him. Now, it seems like this is a pure lie, obviously, that Yusuf alayhi salam did not steal anything. Some ulama of the Salaf, however, they say that when Yusuf was a child, his maternal grandfather, his mother's father, was an idol worshipper. So he took away the idol that his maternal grandfather used to worship. He stole the idol. He took the idol and he destroyed it so that his maternal grandfather would stop committing shirk and accept Islam. So some ulama also give this story that this is what he stole. And of course, this is a type of da'wah if you have the power to do it. This is not stealing at all. If you have the power to do it without getting into any evil repercussions, for example, if you're the owner of the household, or even in the status of Yusuf alayhi salam, a noble and respected person, even though he would have been a child, he's trying to show his grandfather a lesson in the futility of shirk. Even if this is true, this shows you that the brothers were so evil, they exaggerated it to such an extent that they said he is a thief, even though what he is doing is da'wah. So either it is a pure lie that Yusuf did not steal anything and they just invented it against him, or it is such an exaggeration that it becomes a lie. Realize that exaggeration, if you exaggerate severely, this too becomes a lie. If you distort and change the facts and you lie and you exaggerate to such an extent that it goes against the reality, this also is counted as a lie. فَأَسَرَّهَا يُوسُفُ فِي نَفْسِهِ. Yusuf kept it to himself. What did he keep to himself? وَلَمْ يُبْدِهَا لَهُمْ. He did not reveal it to them. What did he keep to himself? What did he not reveal to them? Some ulama say he kept his identity to himself, that he could have accused them of being the real thieves. You are the real thieves. You stole me from my father. So he kept this to himself. Others say he kept the next statement. قَالَ أَنْتُمْ شَرُّ مَكَانًا. He said, you are the worst of the two, because you are the real thieves. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَصِفُونَ. And Allah is well aware of what you describe. In other words, you are describing a lie. What you are saying is a lie. It has no reality to it. So some ulama say that he said this statement, أَنْتُمْ شَرُّ مَكَانًا. He said this out loud to them, in a vague terminology, that you are the worst of the two. Well, they don't know what Yusuf is talking about, but of course Yusuf and Binyamin both know what Yusuf is talking about, that you are accusing us of stealing, me and my brother, whereas you are the real thieves, and you stole us from our fathers, you stole me away from my father. So who is worse of the two, you or me? And Allah is well aware of what you describe, that what you're describing is a lie. Other ulama say, no, he said this statement to himself. He didn't say it out loud to them, meaning that when Allah says, فَأَسَرَّهَا يُوسُفْ فِي نَفْسِهِ, that Yusuf kept it hidden in himself, that he is referring to this next statement, أَنْتُمْ شَرُّ مَكَانًا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَصِفُونَ. So look at the first reaction of the brothers, which is in fact a very evil reaction, to wash their hands of Binyamin, to declare themselves free of Binyamin. Well, if he is a thief, verily it runs in the family. His brother stole before him. We have nothing to do with him. And now, when they ponder over what has occurred, they realize that they are in big trouble now. They have given their father an ultimate promise. The ultimate promise. So they have to do something. They can't go back without Binyamin. So they say, قَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزِ. They say, O Aziz. And this is the proof that many ulama use, that here Yusuf himself is being called Aziz, whereas before his master had been called Aziz. So they say that Yusuf took over the position of his master from this text here. They said, O Aziz, verily he has a father who is a Shaykhan Kabir, a very old man. Again, look, they say his father, and not our father. He has a father. إِنَّ لَهُ أَبًا شَيْخًا كَبِيرًا. He has a father that is old and a sheikh. فَخُذْ أَحَدَنَا مَكَانَهُ. Take one of us in his place. So they're pointing out that his father loves him very much, and he doesn't love us that much. So take one of us in his place, because his father will not be able to live without Binyamin. He will be too much in grief and loss without the existence of Binyamin. So take one of us in his place. إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. We see you amongst those who do ihsan. Once again, the concept of ihsan comes back here. So Yusuf alayhi salam was able to, even through his conduct and character, show the brothers that even he was amongst the muhsineen. So they testified to this fact, that we see you amongst the muhsineen. Just like before them, the people in the prison had also testified, we see you amongst the muhsineen. So what they are trying to say is that because you have this ihsan, because you are so kind and generous, have sympathy upon our father. Have sympathy upon Binyamin's father, who will not be able to live without him. In your ihsan, right, exchange Binyamin for one of us. Substitute one of us in place of Binyamin, and you will be doing ihsan to our father. You will be treating him in a good manner. But once again, it shows you the brothers did have some guilt. They did have iman. Yes, they committed sins, but they did feel guilty now. Is that we can't leave Binyamin. We gave our father the ultimate promise. How can we leave Binyamin? And in fact, one of them is willing to stay in Egypt and become the slave. So it shows you the brothers did have some good in them. Yes, they did some evil. But they did have some good, and they feel guilty now, and they're trying to get out of it. So they're trying to fulfill the promise to their father, and they're willing to even stay in place of Binyamin. قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. He says, I seek Allah's refuge. My refuge is Allah. أَن نَأْخُذَ إِلَّا مَنْ وَجَدْنَا مَتَاعَنَا عِنْدَهُ. That we will take anyone except the one whom we found our goods with. إِنَّا إِذَا لَظَالِمُونَ. Verily, if we were to do this, we would be amongst the wrongdoers. Once again, notice, Yusuf alayhi salam, he doesn't use the word sariqa or steal. He uses the word مَنْ وَجَدْنَا مَتَاعَنَا عِنْدَهُ. Because Binyamin did not steal. But the merchandise was found with Binyamin. So he says, we can only take he who we found our merchandise with. He didn't say he who stole, because if he said that, it wouldn't be correct. But what is that meaning that is understood by the brothers? The one that stole. Again, tawriya here, or saying something with the double meaning to it, that the brothers thought he's referring to the stealing, and of course Yusuf is referring to the plot and plan that he did. So he said, I seek Allah's refuge. So he's trying to show his justness here. How can I take anyone except the one who's the belonging was found on his possession? This also shows the principle that is well known in Islam, is that every person is dealt with according to his own actions. Another person will not be held accountable for someone's actions. Here is Binyamin, and supposedly he has been caught with the merchandise, so he is the thief. Therefore, he must pay the time for that. He must do the punishment for that. And it is not proper or fair for any other brother to substitute in his place. Also, this shows you that it is not allowed to do good to someone if it entails doing wrong to others. This is a very clear principle in Islam. If you do ihsan to someone, but in that ihsan, you are doing dhulm to another person, this ihsan becomes dhulm itself. Because Yusuf says, if we were to do this, we would be zalimun. Even though the brother said, be amongst the muhsineen by listening to us. But Yusuf said, if I were to listen to you, I would become amongst the wrongdoers. How is that? Okay, I'll be being good to your fathers. Yes, your father's right, I would be in ihsan. However, in Binyamin's right, and in the right of the brother whom I took in his place, there will be dhulm being committed there. So it is not ihsan to do good to someone when it involves doing dhulm to someone else. Rather, the whole act becomes dhulm. You understand this point? If he had obeyed the brothers, if he had obeyed the brothers' suggestions, take one of us and leave Binyamin, he might be doing ihsan to the father, but he is doing dhulm to the brother that is taken in. Therefore, the whole act becomes dhulm. And this comes into play, for example, between children. You're doing ihsan to one child, you give him something extra, something good, something, some gift. It is not proper unless you give it to all of your children, because it is dhulm to the other children. The Prophet ﷺ said, when you give a gift to one child, give it to all the children. Likewise, if a person is married to more than one wife, he might be doing ihsan to one wife, but at the expense of doing dhulm to another wife. Therefore, that act itself becomes dhulm. Because you're not allowed to be good to someone at the expense of doing wrong or injustice to someone else. Rather, you must be good to someone and make sure that no one's rights have been transgressed while you be good to that person. So this is another point of benefit here, because Yusuf calls himself of the Zalimeen if he were to do what the brothers say is ihsan. Showing you that when you do ihsan to one person and the rights of another are transgressed, it becomes dhulm. فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ, when they gave up on him. So Allahu A'lam, they tried their best, they did some more tactics as well, they begged, they pleaded, but until finally they gave up from achieving anything from him. خَلَصُوا نَجِيَّا, they went together privately, secretly. Yani they went away from the people's eyes and they had a secret meeting that no one could hear them. قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ, the oldest one amongst them said, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ أَبَاكُمْ قَدْ أَخَذَ عَلَيْكُمْ مَوْثِقًا مِنَ اللَّهِ, that your father has taken a severe oath from Allah. وَمِنْ قَبْلُ مَا فَرَّطْتُمْ فِي يُوسُفْ, and even before you failed in your duty to Yusuf. So he's reminding them of their dual sins now. Is that you gave your promise to Allah with regards to this brother, and now we're going to have to leave him. And before this, we also went against our father's trust in Yusuf. We promised him we are going to guard him. We promised him we will give him the utmost advice. And we went against our father's trust. So you see, the oldest one is feeling guilty, very guilty. So he says, فَلَنْ أَبْرَحَ الْأَرْضَ, I will never leave this land. I will never leave this land, حَتَّى يَأْذَنَ لِي أَبِي, until my father gives me permission. I'm going to stay in Egypt as a self-exile upon myself. I'm going to punish myself, so my father knows that I am innocent of anything. Let him realize that I feel guilty and I feel responsible for what has occurred. So I will not go back to Palestine. I will stay in Egypt until my father gives me permission. أَوْ يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ لِي, or Allah wills for me. Wills for me in the sense, perhaps I can convince them to give my brother back, and I'm able to take my brother back to Palestine. So Allah has willed on my behalf. So Allah has helped me in getting my brother back. وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ, and he is the best of all judges and the best of all people that the best of all controllers and powers. So he says, irji'u ila abikum. This, by the way, the benefit it shows you, this ayah, it shows you the benefits of shura or mutual consultation, is that they all got together and they advised one another and they had a consultation here, as Allah says in the Quran with regards to the believers, wa amruhum shura baynahum, is that their matter is always in shura or consultation. They always consult one another between themselves. Okay, and this is of the characteristics of the believer, is that they always take advice from other brothers, and even if they're in positions of power and command, they still will have a shura or a mutual consultation, and they will make sure that they get everyone's opinion on this issue. Of course, it must be pointed out, just briefly, that shura and democracy are totally antithetical. There is no relationship aslan between shura as it exists in Islam and the concept of democracy as it exists in the West, here and in America and other countries. There is no relationship whatsoever. Yes, there are some very small similarities, but the differences between them are so great and so fundamental that in fact there is no comparison between the two concepts. Many of the people in our times are saying that the shura that Islam talks about is in fact democracy. No, it is not. Democracy, the way that it exists in the Western countries, is without a doubt one of the major forms of kufr. And shura obviously is something which is Islamic and legislated by the Sharia, and there is no relationship between the two. اِرْجِعُ إِلَىٰ أَبِيكُمْ, so he's saying, go back to your fathers. He is the oldest one of them. طيب? He is the oldest one of them. And notice, by the way, a point of benefit here. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says, قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ, the oldest one amongst them said. However, in the beginning of the story, when the oldest one, the same one, when he advised them to do something else, how does Allah refer to him? Who remembers? How does Allah refer to him at the beginning of the surah? When he advised them, if you have to do something, don't kill Yusuf, throw him into the well. قَالَ قَائِلْ, one of them said. Notice the beauty here now. When something bad, something evil was being done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention who it was. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ, one of them said. He hid the identity of the one who did that evil, because there will be no benefit gained by it. Over here, because he's doing something good, something noble, Allah says, قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ, the oldest one amongst them said. And this too was the way of the Prophet ﷺ. When someone did something wrong, and there would be no benefit in exposing him, no benefit in humiliating him and talking about him openly, he would say, why is it that some people do this and that? He would not mention them by name. He would say, why is it that some people do such and such? Verily this is incorrect, this is wrong, and he would guide them. But he would not mention their names. And this is of the way of the Muslim. Don't expose your Muslim brother unless there is a need and a reason to. If he's committing a sin or if he's doing something that is wrong, don't expose him. Keep it hidden. You are going to cause more harm by exposing him, by talking about him, by ghibah and namima, than if you were just to advise him in a gentle manner and not mention his name. And this is proven here in the Quran as well. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ over there, and over here, قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ. One of them said, versus the oldest one of them said. Here when he's doing the noble act, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions him by his title, that he is the oldest amongst them. So he's saying, اِرْجِعُوا إِلَىٰ أَبِيكُمْ, go back to your fathers. فَقُولُوا يَا أَبَانَا, say, O our father, إِنَّ ابْنَكَ سَرَقْ, verily your son has stolen. وَمَا شَهِدْنَا إِلَّا بِمَا عَلِمْنَا, and we only bore witness, we only testified to that which we knew. In other words, we didn't think that your son would steal. We had no idea he would steal. وَمَا كُنَّا لِلْغَيْبِ حَافِظِينَ, we did not know the knowledge of the unseen. You cannot expect us to have prevented this act. Your son stole, obviously, the brothers of Binyamin, they are all convinced that he stole, because the item is found in Binyamin's luggage, and Binyamin is quiet. He is not saying anything, which is obviously a sign of guilt, because in general, when you're accused of something, you are, especially in this type of situation, you're going to respond back and defend yourself, okay? A point of benefit I forgot to mention earlier, is that here when Yusuf alayhi salam is accused of stealing by the brothers, فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخُ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ, right? Yusuf alayhi salam does not defend his honor here. Whereas before when he was accused of enticing the wife of Aziz, he defends his honor. So this shows you that it is allowed to defend your honor, and it is also allowed not to, if you think the situation calls for that. Both are allowed. It is not obligatory upon you if you think that it will cause more harm. Like Yusuf at this point in time, had he defended his honor and he said, no, Yusuf did not steal, the brothers would be like, who are you to talk about Yusuf? How do you know anything about Yusuf? And Yusuf's identity would have been revealed. So the point is, I forgot to mention this earlier, the point is that if a person is accused of something, a person has been tainted or something, he looks at the situation and scenario. If he believes that it will do good to defend himself, if he believes that it is of benefit to defend his honor, he is allowed to do it. Like Yusuf alayhi salam did when he was accused of enticing the wife of Aziz, immediately he said, قَالَ هِيَ رَاوَدَتْنِي عَنْ نَفْسِي, she was the one that enticed me, I didn't do anything. Here, when he is being accused of stealing, he remains quiet. فَأَسَرَّهَا, Yusuf kept it to himself. He did not respond to them. وَلَمْ يُبْدِيَا لَهُ, he didn't make it clear to them. So they are saying to their fathers, and the oldest one tells them, to tell your fathers, your son has stolen. He has committed something that is wrong. And we only testified to that which we knew. We didn't know what he would do. We thought that he's going to come with us, and we're going to do the trading transactions and come back, and we will protect him from any harm that we could possibly foresee. But we could not foresee that he himself would cause harm to himself by stealing. So we only bore witness, we only testified to that which we knew, and we didn't know the knowledge of the ghaib. This shows you the point of benefit here is that knowledge, or testimony, the shahada, must be based upon knowledge. Because they said, وَمَا شَهِدْنَا إِلَّا بِمَا عَلِمْنَا. It's a very simple fact, but still it is proven in this verse, that when you give a testimony, when you give a shahada, it must be based upon knowledge, certain knowledge. And it cannot be based upon presumption. When you testify to something, okay, you make a shahada, a testimony, it must be upon certain knowledge. وَمَا شَهِدْنَا إِلَّا بِمَا عَلِمْنَا. We only testify to that which we knew. And it cannot be based upon any other presumption. It must be based upon certain knowledge, and it's something that is well known in Islam and the Sharia, but this verse also proves it. So the oldest brother is telling the younger brothers what to say, and he knows that the father will not believe them. So he even tells them what to say after that. وَاسْأَلِ الْقَرْيَةَ الَّتِي كُنَّا فِيهَا, ask the village, ask the people of the village that we have come from, the people of Egypt, right? If you don't believe us, ask the people. Everyone saw this. وَالْعِيرَ الَّتِي أَقْبَلْنَا فِيهَا, and if you're not going to ask the people, then ask the caravan that we came with. You can imagine now they must have been coming with caravans. In the old days they used to travel in large groups to be safer from other dangers. So there are other people in the caravan. It's not just us 10 brothers now. And in fact, nine, because the kabiruhum has remained behind. There's only nine brothers coming back. So it's not just us that are saying this. Go and ask the caravan if you don't believe us. And if you don't believe that, go and ask the people of the city. وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ And verily, we are indeed telling the truth. Okay? This shows you the permissibility of bringing extra evidence, even though you have not been asked to do so. Because they said, our witnesses and our testimony is the people of the village and the caravan people. They were not asked to bring any testimony at this point, but they know that their fathers will not believe him. So they bring extra evidence to support their claim. So there's no blame on a person if he wishes to clear his name, and he immediately brings more evidence than that which is requested from him. They could have just said, Binyamin stole. But they already bought their evidences, they produced their witnesses because they knew that their father would not believe him. So this shows you the permissibility of testifying and bringing witnesses and evidences without necessarily being asked. Again, it goes back to the situation that you are in. قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا When they came back and they told him, the nine brothers, he says, verily, a matter has been made beautified to you, something has been made pleasing to you. Once again, he does not believe his children. Why? Because he knows his son Binyamin. And he knows that Binyamin will never, ever steal. The whole world can testify. The caravans, the village people, their own brothers. But he knows that his son is not a thief. And this shows you the knowledge of Ya'qub alayhi salam and the trust that he had in his children. And it also shows you the importance of good conduct and good reputation. Binyamin's reputation is so firm in his father's eyes. The whole world can testify, but he knows, no, Binyamin is not a thief. So he blames it on the brothers again. And this also shows you the evilness of a bad reputation. In the past, Yusuf's brothers were guilty of taking Yusuf away. So the father blamed them. And they had a bad reputation. Now they are innocent, but the father still blames them. Why? Because they've already established a reputation for themselves. They are well known that they are doing something that is not correct. So he blames it on them, even though other people are testifying. The people of the caravan and the people of the city might have testified, but he blames it on them that you have done some plotting and planning. Because they have already disobeyed him before, they have already shown him their true character in one sense, so he blames it on them. So he says, some matter has been made appeasing to you, فَصَبَرٌ جَمِيلٌ So patience, the beautiful patience is the best. What I will do is have a beautiful patience. Once again, look at the patience of Ya'qub alayhi salam. His favorite son has been taken away, and he hasn't seen him for 30, 40 years. And his second favorite son has been taken away, Binyamin. And on top of that, he's been accused of a crime which he knows he didn't do. And his oldest son, which was perhaps the best son after that, because we notice from the story that the oldest is always giving the best advice. His oldest son also is not with him now. And only nine of his children are left. Once again, he says, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ The same thing he said when his first son was taken away from him. I'm going to have a beautiful patience. I will not complain to anyone. On top of that, عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَأْتِيَنِي بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا It is possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them all back to me. Binyamin, Yusuf, and the oldest one. Look at his optimism in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at his iman. He didn't lose any hope. He didn't get any anger or any frustration. He is content with the will of Allah, and not just that, he is optimistic. He is in such a bad situation, yet he is optimistic. One son after the other is being taken away. But he says, Insha'Allah, Allah will bring them all back to me. عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَأْتِيَنِي بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا So he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has no other place to turn to. He turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, It is possible Allah will bring them all back to me. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ He is the one who is all knowledgeable. In that he is alim, he knows my situation. He knows how I feel. And he is hakim. He is all wise. He does everything with hikmah. He does everything with wisdom and knowledge. So whatever he is doing with a purpose. Whatever he is doing with wisdom in his mind, wisdom in his actions, even though I might not be able to see that wisdom. Here we find that even though Ya'qub alayhi salam blamed them, blamed the brothers, even though they were innocent of it, it shows you that su'adhan, or to have some type of evil thoughts of a person, is allowed when there is supporting evidence. Okay, the general rule is that you must have husn al-dhan, or good thoughts for your brother, and make an excuse for him all the time. But when there is strong supporting evidence, now of course supporting evidence means that, yani it is very pretty much explicit or very clear that the brother or the person is guilty of whatever he has been accused of. There is strong supporting evidence for this. Then it is possible to have su' of dhan for the person. For example, there's an ikhtilaf in fiqh. For example, if the person is caught vomiting alcohol or vomiting wine, is this sufficient evidence to accuse him of drinking wine? Many of you will say, of course it is. Some of the fuqaha have differed because they say, well, there's not two witnesses there. And you might presume it's wine and it's not wine. But many of the ulama say, no. The fact that he vomited it up shows you that he in fact drank it. Therefore, it is strong enough supporting evidence to punish him for that. So the point here is that su'ul dhan, or having evil thoughts about the Muslim about a Muslim brother, is allowed when there is a strong supporting evidence. What was the supporting evidence here? The supporting evidence is many. Number one, what they did to Yusuf a.s. And the father knows that Yusuf was not killed because of the shirt and because of the dream. Number two is Binyamin. And the father knows that Binyamin is innocent because he knows Binyamin will not steal. He knows Binyamin so well, he is certain that something is wrong here. Now obviously he doesn't realize that it is Yusuf a.s. who is doing this plot and plan and not the brothers. But he knows that something is amiss, something is wrong. Binyamin would never steal. And this is enough of a supporting evidence for him to deny what the brothers claim happened, that he stole and he was caught by that. So he blames the brothers for that. وَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُمْ He turned away from them. He turned away from them because he did not want to show them his grief. His grief must have been overwhelming now. Binyamin also will not come back to him. He is now a slave in Egypt. His son Yusuf has gone missing 30, 40 years ago. We don't even know if he's alive or not. So he turns away from them. And he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالَ يَا أَسَفَ عَلَى يُوسُفِ He says, oh woe to me is Yusuf. How much I miss Yusuf. Subhanallah. His oldest son and Binyamin have been taken away right now. But his heart is still attached to Yusuf. His heart is still attached to Yusuf. Alas is Yusuf. Ya asafa ala Yusuf. What a loss Yusuf is to me. وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ And his eyes became white with grief. Beautiful poetic way to describe his blindness. His eyes became white because every person's eyes are black. But because he cried so much and because he was full of grief so much, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, his eyes became white. In other words, he could not see anymore. مِنَ الْحُزْنِ Because of his sorrow. وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ And kazim means he was suppressing his grief. He was holding it back. And this is the way of the mu'min. He holds back his grief. He does not let it out and show everyone else about it. Kazim, throughout these years, 30, 40, 50, as many years had gone by, he is suppressing his grief, his loss for Yusuf. And when Binyamin and the oldest one are taken away, the first thing that comes out, he remembers Yusuf now. Even though Binyamin was still so beloved to him, still he remembers Yusuf. Ya asafa ala Yusuf. So, this shows you that he turned away from them because he did not want to show his crying and his sadness to them. Okay? It also shows you that to cry is not a sin. You can weep and it is not a sin. When the Prophet's son Ibrahim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his son Ibrahim passed away, the Prophet cried so much that his beard became wet. And the Sahaba, when they saw him cry, they cried as well. And they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, do you cry? He says, crying is a sign of mercy in the hearts. What I have prohibited you from is to wail, to scream out and to tear the clothes. Extreme signs. But the crying is a mercy from the heart. So crying and extreme sorrow and grief in and of itself, this is a sign of mercy. But to go more than this, to curse, to get angry, to beat the walls, to tear your clothes apart as they would do in Jahiliyyah, this is what is haram. This is what is of the signs of Jahiliyyah. So the point is here, extreme sorrow, which is huzn here, extreme grief, does not go against one's iman. Here is Ya'qub, the Prophet of Allah. And his son, his most beloved son Yusuf, who hasn't seen for 30 years, he is still loving him and missing him. And now Binyamin on top of that. And now the oldest one on top of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ His eyes became white because of his grief. So he had huzn. And so much so that he would cry. So much that he became blind. وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ And all of this time, he was suppressing that grief. He wasn't showing the people. And this is the way of the mu'min. He doesn't turn to the other people, the perfect mu'min, the one who has completed his iman, perfected his iman. He doesn't seek to gain pity and compassion from the created. Because this is of no use. He turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ Look at the brothers now. They said, by Allah. تفتأ تذكر يوسف. Are you going to continue to think about Yusuf? We just told you about Binyamin and the oldest one, and you go back to Yusuf? And look here now, the point of benefit here, subhanAllah. The plot of the brothers, in fact, worked 180 degrees against them. Why did they take Yusuf away in the first place? Because they wanted the father to forget about Yusuf, so that he could love them over Yusuf. And look at what happens. In fact, he loves Yusuf even more now. And for the last 30, 40 years, he's still thinking about Yusuf. So look at how shaitan tries to get you to do something, and you think that your goal will be reached through this haram. Yet it is in fact the exact opposite that will occur to you. Because shaitan's promises are always false. Shaitan's lies are always used to entice you. Shaitan will say on the Day of Judgment, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ Verily Allah promised you a true promise. وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ And I promised you, but I went against my promise. وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ I had no power over you. I didn't control you. إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي Except that I called you and you responded to me. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي Don't blame me. Don't get angry at me. وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ Blame yourselves. Shaitan himself is saying this as per testimony of the Quran on the Day of Judgment. Allah promised you and he was truthful. I promised you, I broke my promise with you. I didn't have any power over you, so don't get angry at me. Don't get angry at me, blame yourselves, don't blame me. All I did was I called you and you obeyed me. And look here now, the brothers of Yusuf, the reason they did what they did, it worked against them 180 degrees. Here the father of Yusuf is still, Yaqub is still attached to Yusuf. So they get angry and they say, by Allah, are you going to continue to remember Yusuf? حَتَّى تَكُونَ حَرَضًا Until you go senile. يعني حَرَضًا you're going to be alive but you can't operate properly. You're going to lose your mind. أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْحَالِكِينَ Or you are going to be of those who are يعني destroyed and die in this grief. In other words, what is the use of this grief of Yusuf? So they are still jealous of Yusuf alayhi salam. Still, they are all grown up now. And they did their deed of old, decades ago. But still the jealousy of Yusuf is alive in their hearts because their goal was not met. The reason that they took Yusuf was not fulfilled. The father is still thinking of Yusuf. So they said, you will continue to remember Yusuf until you go senile, until you go crazy, or until you will die. So when he heard him say that, he said, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُسْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ He said, I only complain to my bathi. Bathi here means like ramblings or my uncontrollable matters. Wa huzni, my grief to Allah. Wa a'lamu min Allahi ma la ta'lamun, and I know from Allah that which you do not know. So here he is saying that I am not complaining to you. I don't need this comment from you. I'm not complaining to you that you have to give any comments on this. I'm complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't desire your pity and compassion. Rather, I'm only turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innama, I only turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my bathi, my uncontrollable matters, that which I cannot control. For example, the statement that just came out, Ya asafa ala Yusuf. It just came out of him. He didn't want the brothers to hear. That's why he turned away from them. And the tears that he's coming, and the grief that he's feeling, Allah describes it as kaldim. He was controlling that grief. And imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing his grief as being controlled. How much control must it have been? How much hidden must it have been? So when he hears them give that comment, he says, I'm not complaining to you. I don't want your pity and your mercy. Rather, I'm only complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I know from Allah that which you do not know. In other words, I know that eventually I will see Yusuf and his brothers because of the dream. He remembers the dream. I know from Allah that which you do not know. This also shows you, the story of Ya'qub and Yusuf really shows you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test every single person. No matter how pious he is, no matter how evil he is. And in fact, the more iman a person has, the more he will be tested. This is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more iman a person has, the more he will be tested by Allah.